Welcome to Saints History, told and experienced the way God intended it, with excessive amounts of alcohol and cursing. The booze is probably bourbon because...
Other alcohols are for rich women on diets.
Now, here's your drunk Saints History host, who is...
bombed out of his gourd.
Hi, welcome to Saints Drunk History. It's the 2011 Saints Part 2. Andrew, we left it... After part one, the Saints are 5-3. They just got their ass handed to them in St. Louis. I think you're right. I still don't think at this point we weren't like, this is the best offense we've ever seen. This season is going to be magical. Like, I don't think we thought that. And the next week, they played Tampa at home and they won 27-16. And you felt good about it because they had. You know, the defense got it turned around, which was nice. But Tampa still had 365 yards of offense. But at least you felt like they didn't get shoved around. And they won.
That was a lot of garbage yards in the fourth quarter, though.
Yeah.
I feel like Tampa had given, maybe made a little run there. But I remember that game was 27-16. But it was one of those 27-16 games where the Saints trashed them. I mean, the Saints won that game going away. Easily.
Yeah, like it was 24. It was 24-6. You know, and Drew Brees was back. Like he was efficient. Where he was 27-36, 258, two touchdowns and one interception. But Jimmy Graham again, he's like 6-78, and this is the point where you started to realize. Fun fact of this game: Chris Ivory had 15-67. Like, you know, the Saints are just. Mix in the random run game, because this is the thing where Mark Ingram had a hurt heel, I believe, and it was kind of hurting him at that point. So what do you remember about this? Do you remember anything specifically about this game
against the Bucks?
Yeah.
No.
The thing that I remember about these games is the Saints were really struggling against. Like they had no sacks, and I remember thinking. Man, they're getting ahead.
They were blitzing Roman Harper a lot.
They were, yeah, like they, like he ended up being the guy. Like he had 6.5 sacks for the year. I remember thinking, man, they're up in these games, and they still can't get to the quarterback. You know, and to me, that's always a concern. Like, you know, like if we watch, like we're recording this game the Saturday before the Buffalo game. Like if the Saints play Buffalo tomorrow, and they get up 24-9. I guarantee you they're either going to start sacking Tyrod Taylor or he's going to be running for his life, you know? Because that's what good or even mediocre defenses get when you can get up on a team and you know they have to throw, your pass rush, even if it's mediocre, comes alive. And the Saints' pass rush, like, it never came alive because they didn't have one, you know? But at this point, Andrew, you know, they're 6-3 and they go to Atlanta and... Atlanta was 5-3 at this point, so this was like a huge game. This game, the thing that I remember most about this game is Marcus Colston was just tremendous in this game. He had 8-113 and like three. I want to say on the last. On a key drive for the Saints that put him up 23-13. Like, he had a bunch of key catches. But this is another thing where, like, the defense kind of shit the bed at the end, you know?
Yeah, I mean, Matt Ryan was good, you know, and obviously back then he had Tony Gonzalez and Roddy White. You know, those were kind of his main targets. But what I remember the most, I mean, this is the infamous game, of course, where it was a kind of a seesaw battle going back and forth.
Yeah.
And then Atlanta hits a field goal at the buzzer. And so then, you know, obviously you have that uneasy feeling. And they tie the game right at the buzzer. And so it goes to overtime. And I remember Atlanta winning the toss. And so, you know, immediately, you know, they have Matt Ryan and, you know, they have a good offense. And so, you know, I was concerned, you know, when they win the toss, you're like, oh man, are they going to go down and score on us? So the Saints get a big stop. And you know, now you're feeling, okay, our offense is getting the ball back. It's over. But the Falcons do a good job of stopping the Saints as well. So the Saints end up punting. and Atlanta gets the ball again. And I remember Atlanta has, I mean, and this is the infamous play where Atlanta has third and one, and they throw a pass where a guy steps out of bounds. The ref marks it a first down, and the play ends up getting challenged by the booth because, you know, in overtime, all yep. plays come from the booth. And when they do the replay, they see that he's short. So it's fourth and one.
Yep.
And so this is where Mike Smith decides to go for it on fourth and one from the Falcons 29. And, you know, Michael Turner has always done great against the Saints. You know, he's a running back. He's a bruiser. You know, he doesn't necessarily have the speed, but he's always killed the Saints. And so I know the Falcons probably had a lot of confidence that even though it was fourth and one deep in their own territory, that Michael Turner was going to get it. So they go for it, and the Saints stuff it. And obviously that was a death sentence for the game.
And the,
Saints, I mean, the Saints kick a field goal almost immediately to win the game.
But here's the thing.
I remember that play, just the decision to go for it, which was crazy.
Well, here's the thing about Mike Smith. Like, his fourth down decisions, like, no matter what he did, it never worked out. Like, he just...
Yeah,
he,
and that was the one play. I mean, I remember Sean Rogers, who never really did much for the Saints. That was kind of their free agent signing. That was maybe the one play he made all year.
Totally worth it.
But
to me, that makes him a great signing. We might have to... Hall of Fame induction. I'm not saying he's locked. I'm just saying if you played that on a loop, you made a gif of it, and you showed it to the committee over and over again, I might vote for him.
And Will Smith was on that play too. But, you know, I think that was just like the material we got from that. I mean, we've always loved to pick on Atlanta.
And
fourth and one. You know, this was before 2 points. This was before the Super Bowl collapse.
I was not on Twitter in 2011.
But back then, I just remember Mike Smith going for it on fourth and one from deep in his own territory. Like, that was the Falcons material that we used incessantly until the other stuff came.
The Falcons have so much great material now. Like, the Mike Smith jokes are dated and old.
Yeah.
You know, like we have 28-3 and 2 points. But man, back in the day, kids, Mike Smith jokes were the bee's knees. And that was one of the things for like Channel 4, like my column, I'd always try to sneak in like a Mike Smith joke, like right at the line. Like my thing was Mike Smith looked like Anderson Cooper if Anderson Cooper gained 70 pounds. And I'd always try to sneak in a Mike Smith fat joke, and sometimes I could get it in, and sometimes they would block it. But that was my thing. Like, it was back and forth with the editors at WWL. They're like, the Mike Smith joke is out this week, Ralph. I'm like, God damn it! But
at this point, the Saints are 7-3, and even though it was a close game, like, they beat the Falcons in Atlanta.
Yeah.
And the high of just the fourth and one stop and going on the road and beating the Falcons to go 7-3. At that point, I mean,
it was feeling good. Like,
the morale of the fan base was off the charts.
Yeah. Like, you were like, we're 7-3. Yeah, San Francisco is really good. Green Bay is really good. But we're 7-3. We're in really good shape to be in contention for a bye. And we won a Super Bowl 2 years ago. We're right the fuck in this. Our window is wide open. You had a bye week. Then, after the bye week, then the shit got real. And they played the Giants on a Monday night. And the Giants were beat up
a lot. Injured.
They were injured. Yep. Their offensive line was a mess. They couldn't run the ball. But this was a team that was going to win the Super Bowl. And the Saints obliterated them on a Monday night. Like, just like one of these games where you were like, the Giants, they ain't fucking winning. Like, it was 21-3 at half. But.
And this was another game where Breeze was just on fire.
24 of 38, 363-4. Jimmy Graham was actually kind of quiet this game. He only had 5 for 84, but he had 2 touchdowns. And if I remember right, one of his touchdowns was just like where like the Giants had like two dudes on him in the corner, and he just went up and got it, and he would score a touchdown. And they don't do it as much anymore.
It's funny, you just basically said Jimmy Graham. Imagine how good Jimmy Graham was at this point that you said he only had five catches for 84 yards.
Yeah, like it was only five for 84 and two. Yeah, but he like was
if,
like
if it, the Saints haven't had a tight end catch five balls for 84 yards since Ben Watson.
Yeah, so that's incredibly comedic, where we're like, yeah, he only caught five for 88 and two touchdowns. When you are at that point with any player, especially receiver, where you're like, yeah, it just didn't happen. That's where Jimmy Graham was.
At that point, it became very clear. I think at this point, we knew the offense runs through Graham and Sproles, and everything else is decoration, and we've got a bunch of guys that can make plays. And every, you know, the ball's going to get shared, but Sproles and Graham were the horses.
Yeah. And like the thing was, like, teams just didn't have a fucking answer.
They had no answer. Yeah.
No answer. Like the Saints, like they would, because the Saints formation you to death. And what they would do is they would just move Graham or move Sproles like in motion, and they would just cut teams up, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then the next week they play Detroit, and Detroit, you know, that Detroit had been in the abyss, right? They were 0-16, but by this time they had who's the guy? The guy who was like the crazy coach. I forget his name.
Jim Caldwell.
He's a defensive coordinator for the Eagles now.
The guy that Jim Harbaugh slapped on the back.
Yeah.
Oh God, oh, I'm blanking.
I'm
on his
blanking
name.
Out on his name. I gotta Google his name. Jim Schwartz.
Jim Schwartz. Yeah.
So he's the coach. So Detroit's pretty good, you know, at this point. And that's why they had flexed the game, because Detroit was going into the game with 7-4, and the Saints were 8-3. So it was a sense of like, this is a pretty big game, you know, which is odd to say for the Lions, but it was, and you know, Matthew Stafford, they sacked him three times. He was 31 of 44. But this is another thing. Like, I feel like we remember Drew Brees. We remember 2011 as Drew Brees being awesome. But these individual games, Andrew, as we go through them, 26 of 36, 342 and 3. Like, that's fucking ridiculous.
But that was kind of a pedestrian game for him.
Yeah.
You know, just kind of business as usual.
You know, this was a fun game because this is what I like to call the Robert Meacham / Devery Henderson special. Robert Meacham, 3 for 119 and a touchdown. Like, if there was ever a game that would perfectly encapsulate Robert Meacham, like, that was it. Like, 3 for 19, 119 and a score. Like, you know, but again, like, the Saints, you know, they had a bunch of dudes. And the thing was, the Saints, they ran the ball really good in 2011, too. They were top 10 in running. And, like, they didn't have one guy that had a ton of yards, but, like, Ingram had 16 carries. Rolls had 4 for 28. Pierre Thomas had 2 for 10. And Pierre Thomas, wasn't he injured in 2011 for stretches?
Yes.
You know? You know, and then probably, I have to say, well, it's easy to say because it definitely was. They went to Tennessee the next week and had their worst fucking offensive game of the year. Like, they would only score 22. And it was weird because this was Tennessee, and they were in the Jeff Fisher 7-9 repeatedly years. It was really weird. Here's a fun question. Well,
they kept stalling out for field goals in this game.
Yeah. Fun question. Who's the quarterback for Tennessee?
Jake Locker.
I didn't know that until I just looked at the box score.
And he retired like a year or two later.
Yeah, like Jake Locker was fucking terrible. He's like Jake Locker was like off-brand Tebow.
Yeah. Well, I just remember this game kind of being like the Saints were clearly the better team, and they're up two touchdowns late in the game, but Tennessee hits on a big play, and it's like 22-17, and then the offense, who had kind of stalled out a bunch, stalls out again. They have to punt, and Jake Locker gets them down to like the 8-yard line, And I remember on the last play of the game, you know, basically Tennessee's down five and they're at the five. And basically it comes down to one play. And I just remember being so pissed off thinking, how the hell could the Saints have allowed them to get to this point and you know, have a chance to walk away with the win? And so, you know, the Saints were really fortunate.
I think Tracy Porter made the save and play in that game.
He may have. I remember Ramon Humber had he had good pressure on Jake Locker, and kind of Jake Locker had rolled out and kind of threw it in the end zone. But anyway, that was a huge play, and you know, they were able to just kind of sneak out of Tennessee with the win. They didn't impress, but at this point, you know, it's just like, hey, didn't play their best game. They found a way to win on the road, and they're 10-3. I don't care.
Yeah, Marcus Colson was phenomenal in this game. He had 105-2, and that was a thing, man. That, like, because that's what made the offense so special. It's just like Marcus Colson became like the third wheel on this offense.
Yeah,
and he was ridiculous in 2011. It's just, you know, and you're sitting there, and you're like, they're 10-3, but the thing was, is like, the difference was this year in 2017, you look at the NFC and you're like, you look around and you're like, the Rams, they're not that good. Goff, whatever. You look at the Eagles, you're like, yeah, they're good, but Wentz, whatever. In 2011, man, you looked around and you were like, fuck, Green Bay is 12-1. The 49ers are 11-2-1. And the Saints are 10-3. Like, the NFC was loaded that year. And there are certain years where, like, look, any year that you can go 13-3, you take it. But certain years, it's better to go 13-3 than other years, you know? Mm-hmm. And this, like, 2006, the Saints went 10-6 and made the NFC Championship and were 17-16 with the Bears in the third quarter against Rex Grossman. And they had a bye, you know? So sometimes it just depends. Like, not that it's a bet, not that it was. It was just that year the NFC was really fucking good, and so you worried about the Saints' flaws, because you knew that when you got to the playoffs you were gonna face these really fucking good teams. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So we were really harping on the flaws. We're like, this year we're like, the Saints can't do this or with that, but it's like, man, the NFC's wide open. Just get us there, get us a home playoff game. We'll take it. We'll figure it out as we go. So they win, and this was when the moment where, like, the next 4 weeks, the Saints offense turned into the motherfucking Death Star. Like, this was the, I think, is that fair to say, Andrew? This was the moment where, you know,
nobody could stop
him. Nobody could stop him. And even when we get to the San Francisco game, like, the San Francisco couldn't really stop him either. So they go to Minnesota, and they win 42-20. But the thing that I remember about
Minnesota, this was so bad.
Yeah, like, they were 2-20. I remember this game.
They won two games all year.
Yeah, like, I remember this game, and it was 14-13. And I'm drinking, and I'm joking, and I'm looking at my fan, and my wife is like, "It's 14-13. Like, why are you joking? You're not even like." I'm like, "Minnesota isn't fucking stopping this offense." I'm like, "It's 21-13." Like, if the Saints need to score 50, they'll score fucking 50. Like, they had Christian Ponder in this game. But, you know, the Saints dropped 40 on Minnesota. But it's another game where, like, Drew Brees, 32 of 40, 4-12, 5 touchdowns, no interceptions.
Yep.
Like, it's just – it's – And the Saints had 4 guys catch 5 balls. Darren Sproles caught 5 for 79 and 1. Lance Moore caught 5 for 91 and 2, had a 47-yard touchdown. Colston caught 8 for 91. Graham caught 7 for 70. Like, this offense, it just fucking, like, and the thing was, like, it's weird because this year they struggled. It's probably like the worst third down team they've ever had in 2017. Is that fair to say, Andrew?
Mm-hmm.
The 2011 team, like, it did not fucking matter. You're like, 3rd and 13, whatever. They can pick it up. Like, the down and distance didn't fucking matter. And I can't put into words what that's like to feel like when you watch your team and the down and distance just doesn't matter on offense. It was just this bizarre feeling. are
you? Yeah, I'm. Yeah, no, I hear you. I mean, carried over the next week. You know, they played Atlanta in the dome, and they won 45-16. You know, and it's just you know, the funny thing about that game is that Breece threw two picks, and I didn't even think the Saints played that well, and it was just one of those things where even when they're not playing that well and they're kind of making some mistakes on offense, like they're still like they had a defensive touchdown in that game, and I remember Sproles had a 92-yard kickoff return, you know, back to like the 1-yard line, so like. It's just like everything was working, even when the offense wasn't playing that great.
I felt
they
like
were still putting up 40.
I felt like at that moment they were winning the Super Bowl because I was like, they scored 45. Drew Brees was 29 of 39, 4 touchdowns. He threw 2 picks. The defense is getting turnovers again. We are winning.
Yeah, they didn't even look that good, and they won 45.
I was like, it doesn't like we are winning the fucking Super Bowl. Like they didn't even. This is like a B game for the 2011 Saints. And they still dropped 45 against Atlanta, and like, Atlanta would end up like, was this the 2-point team? I can't remember. Yeah, like this was the 2-point team, right?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Yeah. So, just thinking, like you've kicked Atlanta in the nuts and maybe kept them out of the playoffs. Like it was just glorious. So they go the next week, and so at this point, the Saints have scored 42-45. So the next week, they play Carolina, who ended up being 6-10, but they dropped 45 on them. But the thing was, the thing that made you feel so good about it is their defense, Andrew. You felt like they were turning the corner. At least I did. I felt like they were kind of turning the corner because you looked at them, and you were like, they held Tennessee to 17. You know, they held Detroit to 17, or even the Giants. This is the point total for the defense. 24, 17, 17, 20, 16, 17. You know, you felt like the defense had really turned the corner, at least, and was good enough to win you a championship. But at Carolina, like, you know, Drew Brees, Drew Brees had broken the record for yards. He broke the record for yards against Atlanta, you know. He broke the Dan Marino record. And against Carolina, he was 28 of 35 for 389 and 5 touchdowns. He had 1 pick. But, you know, at this point, like this offense, it was just – I mean, I feel like I need to go through
– The Saints had 4 running backs too. I mean, they had Ivory – who was very good and had over 100 yards in this game. They had Sproles, of course. They had Pierre Thomas, and they had Mark Ingram. So they, over the course of the season, they had 4 backs that were just dominant.
Yeah, and here's the thing. Like, since this is the end of regular season, we need to get to we need to go over some of these the ridiculousness of it. Drew Brees, we'll start with 500, 400.
I just the one thing I will say real quick about this Carolina game is that I remember at the end of the game. You know, Shockey had signed with the Panthers in the offseason. I remember, I believe that ended up being Shockey's last game as a professional. And I just remember him walking off the field, and you know, he'd been kind of a punk the previous game when the Saints had played against them, and had run his mouth a lot and was trying to steal hand signals and alert his defense to the offensive audibles and stuff. And you know, at the end of the game, he just walked off without shaking anyone's hand. You know, and was just like, pouting, you know, basically because the Saints had owned him. And I don't know. I remember the sentiment towards Shockey was kind of negative at that point because he had just left us for a divisional opponent. And I don't know. I remember that feeling really good.
You know, but we got to go over Brees, Sproles, and Graham and Colston on this offense, because I'm going to start with Brees.
Just the stats?
Yeah, like 5,476 yards, 46 touchdowns, 14 picks. That's even in a league where passing and they change the rules and yada, 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 whatever. Like, that's fucking ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, I feel like, and I say this over all the time, I feel like history is going to be really kind to Drew Brees. And if the Saints get him another championship, which we didn't think was possible in the fucking summer. But I look at this team now. They're young. They're fucking awesome. They got Lattimore. Like, if he can stay healthy for another 2 to 3 years and be a top 10 quarterback, like, he might get another ring. Like, if he gets another ring and he owns all the fucking passing records, which he will, like, it becomes a not an argument that he's the best ever, but it becomes an argument like he's top five. I mean, that 2011 season is just, it's just bananas, and like 54, almost 5,500 yards. And oh, by the way, Pete Prisco lost his fucking mind because the Saints were still throwing it against Atlanta, even though they were up big, to make sure Drew Brees got the record at home. Like, people were losing their mind. And Wang, who I know listens to the podcast, had one of his best fucking blog posts ever, where he's like, from a quote from the Wall Street with Michael Douglas, where it's like, we make the fucking rules, pal. And it's just a great blog post. You can probably find it on his blog. Like, the Saints were just like in FU mode, like, totally by the end of this year, which was phenomenal.
And no one could do a damn thing.
No one had fucking any answers to them at all. But the Saints had three backs that went over 400 yards. Pierre Thomas had 560. Darren Sproles had 600 yards rushing. Mark Ingram had 470. Colston, you know, lost in all, because you had Jimmy Graham being awesome. You had Sproles set the total yardage record. Marcus Colston had 80 for 1,100 yards, 1,143 yards and 8 touchdowns. Colston was fucking awesome in 2011. And I feel like he gets lost in the shuffle for a lot of reasons. But I feel like we need to give him some love. Like, because that might have been, I mean, it wasn't maybe his best year statistically, but he was fucking unbelievable that year. Like,
yeah, I mean, it's crazy that Henderson, Meacham, and Moore, they were all over 500 yards.
Yeah.
So even those three guys, I mean, Breeze was just spreading the ball around so much. Oh, and by the way, Pierre Thomas caught 50 balls on this team. So, yeah, I mean, basically they could do anything they wanted, man. Yeah. It was nuts.
It was nuts. And Sproles was fucking amazing. Like, he averaged...
Breeze just had so many weapons.
Like, and here's the thing. Like, Jimmy Graham, I think he did the ceiling for any receiver in the Sean Payton offense. Like, because he had 99 for 1,310 yards and 11 scores. Like, I don't think you can do more than Jimmy Graham did in the way Sean Payton wants to run his offense. 99 for 1,300. I think that's the best. Like, I don't think anybody will clear that hurdle in the Sean Payton offense.
Agreed.
You know, I thought Michael Thomas might, but Michael Thomas doesn't have the explosiveness. Like, Jimmy Graham had giant chunk plays that year, you know?
Often. Yep.
You know, and I just Michael Thomas he's really good and he's going to catch 80 to 100 balls, but he's not going to have a bunt. Like, Jimmy Graham had like four straight weeks where he had at least 120 yards. Like, Michael Thomas isn't going to do that, you know. So, like, that's the bar of 1,300 yards is like the most anybody's going to do. But you had Jimmy Graham had 1,300, Colston had 1,100. Like, that's fucking ridiculous of this team. And this, like, will we ever? I don't think we'll ever see an offense with the Saints be that good in my life. I mean, not with Drew Brees. Let's say that
more balanced, maybe. I think they leaned a little too much on passing at times, and that led to some of Brees' interceptions. But yeah, I mean, it's the best we'll ever see.
Yeah, I mean, and look, 2017 is fun and it's really good and it's just different. You know, they bang on teams and they have Kamara and Ingram and they lean on it. So the Saints are 13-3. They don't get a bye, which I don't have it in front of me, but I want to say I wrote a column. I want to say if you go 13-3, like, the chances of you getting a bye are like 80%, above like 80 to 85%, and for the Saints to go 13-3 to not have a bye is just, it's banana. The Saints in 2011 not getting a bye at 13-3 is just as bananas as the 2006 Saints already clinching a bye at 10-5. Like, it was the, you know, it was the opposite of that.
Yeah. No, I mean, I can't think of too many. I mean, I remember when they went 12-3. Remember in 87? They didn't even win their division that year.
Yeah. That team, that the 87, they only had five teams in the playoffs. So
yeah.
You know, so that, you know, you had the three division winners, and then you had the wild card. So they hosted a game, but so they're 13-3, and they played Detroit, and they beat Detroit. But the weird thing about this game is,
well, they were losing.
Losing at halftime, but they hadn't punted.
Right.
Which was really weird. Drew Brees was 33 of 43 for 466. And it was a fun game. You know, Marcus Colston.
Well, it started a little weird.
Yeah.
And then, you know, in the second half, it started to become the Death Star again. I remember the most significant thing here is that Matt Stafford was playing well, and he was kind of hanging with the Saints for a while.
Yeah.
It was kind of a seesaw battle. And eventually, you know, the Saints offense got rolling where they were scoring on every possession. And Jabari Greer came up with two picks in this game. And I remember during the course of the season, he'd had maybe one pick all year.
Yeah.
And he had two in this game. And this was maybe Jabari Greer's best game as a Saint.
Jabari Greer was so good. Like
he was a great player, like, but this was his hallmark game, yeah. I think. You know, just when you look at him getting two picks against Matt Stafford. And it was just a question of Stafford forcing it too much because he was going up against an offense that was a juggernaut, that was scoring at will, and he was trying to keep pace with them, and he just couldn't do it.
Here's a fun thing. Devery Henderson had a 41-yard catch. Colston had a 40-yard catch. Meacham had a 56-yard catch. Colston had 7 for 120. Meacham had 4 for 111, which is another, like, it's a classic Meacham game. Like, once a month, he's going to catch 4 for 110, you know?
Yep.
But I will say, I went to this playoff game. This is one of the last. I drove in, and the next morning, I got to drive back and listen to Atlanta score 2 points in a playoff game as I drove back to Houston, which was just happiness for half my drive. But I will say, this game, it had probably the greatest single performance I've ever seen. And I know Detroit lost, and we're happy they lost. Calvin Johnson caught 12 for 211 and two touchdowns. And I was at the Flipper Anderson game where he set the record. But Calvin Johnson, that game, he was like a fucking alien from a different planet. Like,
yeah.
I have never seen a dude just fucking wreck a secondary like he did the Saints. Like, the Saints had, it was like me playing a bunch
of. It felt like playing against Jimmy Graham.
Like, or playing against toddlers. Like, it was fucking, it was ridiculous. But the Saints, they won, and, you know, you felt. At least I did. I felt like they were going to San Francisco. The Saints went to San Francisco, and they were favored at San Francisco, even though San Francisco was 13-2-1, which, like, looking back at it, is kind of bonkers. But, you know, we didn't know it at the time, Andrew, but we were about.
Yeah, but it was Alex Smith against Drew Brees.
It was Alex Smith against Drew
Brees. I think Vegas was putting their money on Brees.
Didn't know it at the time, but the Saints won on that Saturday, and we were about to embark on the darkest week in our sports fans' lives because the Saints would win on Saturday. LSU would play Alabama on Monday in the Dome and lose 20-0 in the national championship. And without crossing the 50. And then the Saints would play San Francisco the next Saturday, in a game that is just, I mean, it's heartbreaking, but it was bananas, but, man, San Francisco's defense if there was one defense that could have stopped the Saints, it was that defense. And they did it for about a quarter. Like, yeah. They fucking
wrecked. Well, except that the Saints had a great drive to start the game. Yeah. It was the first or second drive, and they're down to the one. And I remember Pierre Thomas gets knocked the F out. I mean, out cold.
He was out.
And he fumbles.
Well, no. But to be, he was out before he hit the fucking ground.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
you
yeah.
see it on the video. You're like, that dude, he dropped the ball because he was out. And, like, that just swung it. Like, that was the Saints' first drive. And then, you know, they go, and Drew Brees has, after that, like, Drew Brees has two picks, you know?
Yeah.
And the Saints actually had...
They were down 17-0.
Yeah, the Saints, they were down 17-0. They had five fucking turnovers in that game, which is, if you turn the ball over, you lose the turnover battle in a playoff game, I want to say you lose like 98%.
Oh, no, I remember it was 14-0, and Courtney Roby fumbles the kickoff. So the Saints are down 14-0, and the 49ers recover a fumble, and I remember thinking, fuck, it's over.
Yeah.
You know, because the 14-0 in the ball, and they get a field goal out of that, so it's 17-0. But then, of course, you know, this offense, man, there was no way they were going to lay down.
Yeah, so they hit Jimmy Graham, and it's 17-7. And Marcus Colston, this catch by Marcus Colston right before that, 25, like, if you, is Marcus Colston in the Saints Hall of Fame yet? Is he?
He needs to be.
He will be. Yeah. If they ever do like a video, like the catch that he made to make it 17-14 is just ever like it's it epitomizes like why Marcus Colston has all the Saints receiving like it's on the sideline and he catches it and he puts his feet down. It's just fucking amazing. They reviewed it. It's a catch and it's 17-14. And I remember thinking 17-14. The Saints were a fucking train wreck. I'm like, it's not bad. Like, they turned the ball over four times or whatever it was. You're like, it's fine. You know, it's 17-14. It's going to be okay. So, then it kind of gets like...
I mean, 17-14 at halftime, considering, you know, how that game started was... I remember thinking, we got this.
Yeah. Like, you were like...
The second half can't be any worse. And as far as mistakes are concerned, and we're only three down.
Yeah. So, you know, it kind of settled into like a normal game. You know, they kicked a field goal, the Saints kicked a field goal, and it was 23-17 with 4 minutes to go in the game. And then it got fucked. The only thing that I can equate it to is that Astros-Dodgers playoff game that was 13-12. In my sporting experience, Andrew, of watching teams, like that's the only equivalent I have of like the madness of like all the home runs and just the bonkerness of, you know, like there was 4 minutes to go and the game was, or it was, yeah, it was 7.5 minutes to go. It was 23-17. The game ended 36-32. They hit Sproles on a 44-yard touchdown to make it 24-23 with 4 minutes to go. Yeah. And San Francisco drove down, and Alex Smith had the 28-yard run with two and, you know, like, and I remember watching it, and I was just, like, with my family, and I got fucking ripped. Like, I was on the ground laying down. Like, my wife was like, I've never seen you this drunk. Like, what's going on? And I remember, like, everybody in the house was, like, depressed. I'm like, this is perfect. Like, Alex Smith, he like, scored too fast. Like, it's 2 minutes and 11 to go. Like, this is 29-24. Like, this is perfect. Like, we got Breeze. We got Graham. Like, this is great. And the Saints fucking hit Graham for a 66-yard touchdown, and I remember thinking the exact opposite. I was like, "Fuck, they scored too fast." But you know, but you like
I just remember. Well, first of all, I went to college in Virginia, and so all my friends, my fraternity brothers from back then, they knew I was a big Saints fan. So I was getting texts. I mean, you know, keep in mind, like the Saints are the only NFL game on, and they're one of like six teams left. You know, so America's watching, and all my friends that aren't from New Orleans knew that I'm a big Saints fan. So I'm getting all these texts like, unbelievable, unbelievable. Wow, this game is incredible. And I remember at the time, my son Cullen, he's 7 now, but at the time he was like, he was a baby, you know? And so, cause this was 6 years ago. So I remember Sproul scores. And so I'm like pumped and like, I'm not putting him to bed because I'm like completely locked in on the game. And I remember like Alex Smith having the run, and then my wife had to take a phone call. And so I just remember with 2 minutes left, Alex Smith had scored, and I'm supposed to put my kid to bed. And so I'm basically rocking him in my arms, standing next to the TV, and I'm supposed to bring him to bed, but I'm just trying to have him fall asleep in my arms. And finally he falls asleep, and the Saints have the ball. And the 66-yard pass happens to Graham. And so I'm like doing this muted, like, yes! I have my kid in one arm and I'm fist pumping with the other. And I'm just like a muted scream of just like, Jimmy Graham, motherfucker, yeah. And then I'm blowing up and I'm getting all these texts. I'm like trying to fist pump. I'm trying to answer texts. I'm trying to rock my kid to sleep. He's somehow still sleeping in my arm. And so I like quickly run to his bed and I put him down and get back just in time to watch. Well, you know.
Yeah. The thing that
the disaster.
The you bring up a memory. I was watching the Astros in that Game 5. And I was giving my son a bottle. Altuve hit the home run to make it 7-7. They still had a lot of madness to go, but I remember my wife jumping up, going bananas, and like my son freaking out. So the Saints go up 32. They get the 2-point conversion. They're up 32-29, and just, you know, the win probability on this game, like, it, if you look at the chart on Pro Football Reference, like, it's bananas. Like, the Saints, like, it went, like, when the Saints, you know, scored, they had like a 90% chance to win, and you know, you felt good about it, but you knew the defense was shaky. And Vernon Davis just fucking killed them.
Well, they went zero blitz,
yeah. You know, Vernon Davis had 7 for 180 and 2. I mean,
well, all they had to do was go pre-event, man.
Thing is, though, but Greg Williams didn't go pre-event in the Super Bowl, and they blitzed everybody, and Tracy Porter got the pick. So my thing in the column, and people rip me after, is like, you live by the sword, you die by the sword. Like, I can't bag on Greg Williams too much because, like, that's what he did. Like, you know, but do you really think, like, he should have done it? You really think he should have done it?
No, I mean, you make a good point. I mean, you know, it's revisionist history, obviously, and you know, he had a lot. He won a Super Bowl, you know, being him. So it's hard to blame him for sticking with his gut and his instincts.
I just feel like looking back at it, you know, even though, like, make Alex Smith have to dink and dunk you down the field, you know, because the thing is, Alex Smith's nature is not to press the ball down the field. Like, he's done it a little bit better this year, but his whole career, like, that's the knock on him. Like, he's the dump off king, right? So if you prevent defense him, like, he's a guy. Like, if you prevent Drew Brees, he's still going to press you at certain points, and it may jump up and bite you. But Alex Smith, like, when you prevent him, like, he's the guy you want to prevent because his inclination is to do the dump off. And I just think, looking back at it, like, it would have gone against everything Greg Williams would, but it was the exact, like, right play. And I don't know if Sean Payton could have told him something, but, like, it's Alex Smith. Like, he doesn't press the ball down the field when it's tight windows or whatever. And I just, I don't know. Like it's still probably, like, in the pantheon of, like, worst sports moments, I would say it's probably number one, and number two is Alabama beating LSU 20-0 that Monday. Like,
the two teams combined for in this game for 34 points in the fourth quarter.
Like, that's bananas. Like
it was nuts.
It's bananas. Like, NFL Films needs to do, like, an oral history and, like, a a special on it where they do highlights. Like the Saints, like Drew Brees, 40 of 63, 462 and 4. And that San Francisco defense was historically good. And the Saints just
would. The Saints couldn't run the ball.
No, not even.
They could. They were getting stuffed. So the only way they could manage it was to throw every play. And they were throwing, I mean, Sproles had 15 catches.
For 118. Colston.
They were using Sproles, passing to Sproles as an extension of the run game.
Colston, I think, had the best game of his career. He was 9 of 136 for 1 in the big touchdown, which we described earlier. I think it's the best game of his career. Graham had 5 for 103. Even Devery. Yeah,
Graham didn't do anything until they took Graham out of the picture. Graham really didn't do anything until the touchdown.
Yeah. But the Saints are like, oh, you don't want to take Graham. We're just going to dump it off to Sproles, who you can't cover, and we're going to throw it to Colston. You know, even Devery Henderson had 4 for 49. Like, you know, and the thing that is so frustrating for, I think, when you look back at 2011 as we sort of wrap this up, the thing that's so frustrating is the next day the Giants would go to Green Bay and beat the Packers.
Which meant the Saints would have had a home game.
And I know the Giants won the Super Bowl, and their fans would probably say, look, we won the Super Bowl. We'd have gone to New Orleans. I don't give a shit. No fucking team on earth was beating the Saints in the Superdome in 2011.
No.
There's not a team.
No.
No. And I don't care that the Giants got healthy. Whatever. The Saints would have housed the Giants. Now, I don't know if the Saints would have beat New England because their defense was so fucking shaky. Like, I think Tom Brady might have lit them up. Like, that's a fair thing to say. But if the Saints beat
on a neutral field.
Yeah. Like, I don't know if they'd have won a Super Bowl, but they'd have got there. And the thing was, you know, we don't look at it as sad as we do now because 2017, we got all these young kids now, Andrew. We're like, man, if Drew Brees can play till he's 41, our window is wide open again. But, man, before this year, we looked at it and was like, man, yeah, that was kind of when the window shut, you know, because they lost. Bountygate would happen 3-4 months later, and they've never been – like – They bounced back in 2013, but they've never been what they were in 2011 as good again until this year, you know. Where do you rank that on? Like, is Vernon Davis that like the most painful Saints memory for you? Like the Vernon Davis touchdown catch?
Yeah. I think when you consider what was at stake and just what more they could have accomplished and the finality of it. You know, some of the playoff losses to Minnesota or losing to the Falcons was hard in the 90s at home.
Yeah,
that playoff 90, game hurt 91, me a lot, 90, especially as a little kid.
Yeah, 90, 91, and 92 was really hard. And I remember walking out in 90.
I did feel like those teams could make a run at the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I mean, I felt the thing that made me – the 92 team made – The 92 Saints made me really sad because I remember walking out, even though I was only 16, I remember walking out thinking, this is the end of this team's run, and they didn't win a playoff game, and I feel really bad for them and Jim Mora and all that, you know?
You know, the Bears, losing to the Bears in the NFC Championship, I mean, that was just tough because I really thought, after Katrina, you know, it did feel like destiny.
Well, and you felt, and that, and you felt,
even though they got beaten badly,
that was hard to stomach because you just watched the whole fourth quarter knowing you're not going to the Super Bowl.
Yeah. I think those three losses, you know, losing to Atlanta at home in the playoffs, you know, the Bears in the NFC Championship game, and then this one. Those are maybe the three games I can think of that have the most, I have the most scars from, you know, as a Saints fan. And you could make an argument that the Niners was most painful, but I think especially the Falcons at that time, because I was, as a kid, I was just so hungry for that first playoff win. And when they lost, it just felt like I was never going to see this team win a playoff game. With the Saints, you know, again, we're still high off the fumes of 2009. So while losing to the 49ers was crushing and you could really feel the weight of the missed opportunity. I think there was the comfort of, well, you know, at least we won the Super Bowl.
Yeah. I mean, the thing I remember I went to an engagement party for somebody after, and somebody was like, oh, it doesn't matter. It just means the Saints are meant to go to the Super Bowl next year when it's in New Orleans. And
that's right.
And I was like, I looked at her and I said, that's not how the NFL works. Like,
I didn't, at the time, we didn't really feel like the window was closing yet.
No. And but then
we didn't know Bounty Gate was
Bounty Gate was losing, but it I still look back at it like, and I still love that team, like that last month where they were dropping 40 on teams, like it's still magical like that team, like it didn't matter the lead, the what they trailed, it didn't matter the down and distance. Like that team just, like that offense was magical. And you know, it's a shame they didn't win a championship, but it doesn't make it any less. It doesn't make it any less fun. And I would, final thought, I still say that offense was better than the 2009 offense. I still say that. Like, you know,
yeah.
the defense created a bunch of turnovers in 2009, and they won the Lombardi, and it was great. But that 2011 offense was just, I mean, it was just ridiculous. Like, what was your favorite thing about the 2011 offense?
I think it was Sproles, man.
Yeah.
It's the addition of Sproles and what he meant to his team, and you know, just to have a little guy that was so quick. I mean, he really, Sproles, I think a lot of Saints fans would agree with this. I mean, he was one of the most exciting players. I mean, as fun as Graham was and as incredible as Breeze has been, the addition of Sproles is he was just a player that I'll never forget.
Yeah.
And this was his best season. And to me, that just made this season, this whole season, immeasurably fun.
Yeah, I love Sproles. I loved him when they signed him. And I say that Sproles deserves to be in the Saints Hall of Fame because he was awesome in 2011, and he was quietly awesome in that Saints 2013 playoff game where they won in Philadelphia. I mean,
his season was so historic. I've been to the Pro Football Hall of Fame, and his season was so historic that there's a jersey. His jersey, his Saints jersey, is hanging up in the Hall of Fame with the all-purpose yards record, and it speaks about that season. I mean, he really had a historic year.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Recognized in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, like 2011, it's just like the Saints may win again, and hopefully they will win another Super Bowl, and it'll be great and it'll be awesome. But when we're 80 and we're talking about if we still have all our marbles, when we're talking about like great offenses, we're going to talk about that 2011 team.
You're going to need a liver transplant.
I'm going to need, well, I'll just, they'll have like a, they'll grow livers like they grow tomatoes now. You'll just get them. They'll have them in like a liver farm. but I just think like we're going to look back and we're going to be like when Drew Brees goes in the Hall of Fame, like his numbers are going to be ridiculous and people are going to be like, he was even better than we thought. And on that note, I am so drunk. And thanks to everybody for donating and making drunk history happen. You got two parts of the 2011. See, Andrew, the 2011 Saints. I hope you enjoyed our recap and reliving it. For Andrew, I'm Ralph. Take us away, drunk, British lady. God damn it!
Thanks to all of our Saints Happy Hour listeners whose donations made Drunk Saints history possible. Until next time, remember, surviving Saints history is hard. That's why God made alcohol.